Journal entry number 7. It's been 7 long days since Slim locked me in this godforsaken store. Been planning my way out. I haven't been able to fucking eat or fucking been pissing in the corner. I gotta get out of this place, man.
Hey, I brought donuts.
This
Monty?
Fucker.
Monty, did he hear
Slim, that? You stupid son of a bitch.
What?
You kept me trapped in here for 7 days? 7 days?
I
haven't had any food. I haven't had any fucking water, Slim. You think this is some kind of sick joke? You sick motherfucker.
What do you mean? There were snacks over there in the other room.
Oh, well, why the fuck would you keep me trapped in here?
I didn't like losing alone. I just wanted someone else to lose with me. My business hasn't been booming like I thought it would. And I've just been really alone.
Hold on, Slim. I need to write in my journal. At this point, I decide I have 2 options. Either be a really good friend, stay by Slim's side, learn how to lose with him, or at least keep it close. Or say fuck it, go 4-1 on his dumb ass this week. Then again, I would have to listen to this music for 7 more days. You know what, Slim? I'm out.
What? You're out? You can't leave? Fuck! Why did I leave the keys in the door? No! Now I'm back to losing alone. Man, I'm closing this whole shit down. I'm done with this. AMMA is back, and I'm smoking straight CBD.
Ew. I just saw fucking Family Video. They had CBD bath bombs. Like, that's what they're advertising on their,
what?
Like, board.
Get a CBD bath bomb with your Marco's pizza?
Yeah, like, motherfucker, I'm trying to... You better be pitching the new Dragon Tales or something.
Dude, they had a... Last time I went to Marco's, they gave me a sticker, and it was like, yeah, you can go next door and get, like, a free movie or whatever. And I was like, oh, for real? That's kind of... legit. So like I went over there and I'm looking around, I pick up a movie, and I'm like, hey, the pizza guy said I could get this movie for free, and he's like, no, you can rent it for free.
You thought, like, you were getting it?
Yeah, because it had like a
bro,
certain...
You're going to a place where you rent movies.
I know, but it had like a certain color that said anything with this color you can get. So I was thinking like, oh, like, must be an older movie. Like, you know, I picked out like fucking Anchorman or some shit, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool to have, I guess. And then shut me down.
I mean,
wow. He didn't say rent. He said have. You get a free movie.
Just wow.
Not so. Rent a free movie. What's the fucking rent? What is this, Redbox?
Jeez.
Does anyone even use that anymore?
No. Nobody rents movies anymore. Just do it
so.
At your house.
Oh, I found a website. Movie plug.
Oh, don't give it up, but...
I won't, but nice, I'll tell you later. Nice. So we had a fucking, you know what? So we have UFC 248 coming up this week.
Yeah, right. Nice try. Slim was riding high last week. Now listen to him.
I don't like it.
How the tables turn so quickly.
Why are the turntables?
Slim fucking hit me last week with the, bro, I went 4-1 on you. Let me at least have this one. So I had to be like, yeah, Slim. I'm about to go 4-1 on you the next week. And you guys might be like, that's weird. They only disagreed on 4 fights. Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Sudden last-minute entry, you know.
Do we have any news before we start?
Yeah, I'm looking up some...
MMA news.
Some fight announcements now.
Well, first off, Ryan Hall will be finally taking on somebody who is willing to fight him.
Yeah.
Ricardo Lamas.
About time. He's been searching for an opponent forever.
That's going to be a really, really good fight. I'm excited for that one. I think that's a really good matchup. Powerful striking by Lamas with Ryan Hall's jiu-jitsu. It's going to be fun to watch.
Definitely. I don't know if we talked about it yet, but Jeff Hughes is coming to Columbus.
El Jefe.
Yeah. Oh, what was the other one they tagged you in that's just got announced for Columbus. It was Chito Vera versus someone.
Chito Vera taking on none other than... Oh, that's not it.
Fuck.
I don't know. It's not in my shit.
I tagged you in it, didn't I?
Yeah.
I don't know, but Chito Vera's coming to Columbus, so that's pretty cool. Very last minute addition, because that shit's in like 3 weeks. Random. What the... Fuck, dude. I need to... Every single time I search for this one page I follow, I cannot remember the name, and I don't know why. It pisses me off.
That's funny. But yeah, that's kind of it for, like, fight news.
Well, there was another fight announcement. Didn't you tag me in another one? Or did I tag you in one or something?
I don't know.
We're off to a great start this week.
Killing it.
Anyway, so we did have a card last week.
Not Slim's favorite.
No. Actually, in all honesty, it was one of the better fight nights I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, the main card alone had all finishes.
Yeah.
Five straight finishes. So that was pretty crazy. It's pretty rare you see that. And then it, you know, had some weird moments in it, which always makes it a little bit fun. Some controversy. You know?
I laughed. I cried. I mostly cried.
Well, let's get straight into it.
And I lost a ton of money, and you won a ton, so that makes it even better.
I won $207 on Draft. Well, I technically won like $180 on DraftKings. So
absolutely ridiculous.
And then I won again last night on basketball. I won like almost 20.
I was gonna say, what'd you end up going with that?
Yeah, almost. I only won almost like 20, but
on $4, fuck it.
Yeah, I put 10 in today to do a double up, and then if I win that double up, I'm gonna do 20 tomorrow and try doubling that up.
Ooh,
getting risky.
Look at you.
Yeah, I got a little plan, because on the double ups, you only got to finish in like the top 50.
Oh, that's so, not bad. Top 50%. That's doable.
Right. Anyways, Slim and I went to a Cavs game yesterday.
Yeah, that was chill.
They
got squanched on.
Yeah, they didn't have three of their players, so, you know.
It happens.
Can't expect too much out of the boys, but...
out of them boys.
Nonetheless, me and Slim had a good time.
Yeah.
Got a little litty. Had some fun. Nobody got beat up.
Right. Monty went to a Cleveland sporting event. Didn't get in a fight. I was shook.
Shooketh.
And we almost died on the way home.
Did we?
You don't have windshield wiper fluid, and I was getting real nervous when the window started getting... Uh-oh.
I do that shit in my sleep. I'll toss a bottle of water out there while I'm driving.
What?
Fucking water bomb.
Seriously?
Drive into that shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. No, I will pour water on that bitch.
Anyway, let's get on to the fight. It was in Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk. Why'd they keep saying it like that?
What?
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Yeah, you'd think it's Norfolk, but they kept saying, like, Norfolk.
Norfolk? Probably Norfolk. Like how people from... Louisville call it Louisville,
or people from,
did you know that
Hurricane West Virginia call it Hurricane? You know,
tomato tomato,
I guess. But we started out in the welterweight division and got off to a rough start.
Yeah, it was Sean Brady going up against Ismael Nurdaev, and dude, I did not think Sean Brady would have the wrestling heavy attack that he did.
Well, He is a grappler.
Yeah.
It's just when you see him throw his hands with that power, and you know, they're pretty slick. You think of him as a striker, but he's got great takedown defense, and he's really, really tricky on the ground. I mean, he's got good submission game. So he ended up defeating Ismael Nurdaev 29-28. One judge had it 30-27. I was more on the 29-28. I thought Nurdaev had a really good first round, and then Sean Brady definitely pulled it together the next two after that.
Yeah, it looked like Nurdaev kind of got tired.
Yeah. Nordaev's also shown in his losses to Chance Rencounter and now Sean Brady that, you know, he is a little bit susceptible to being taken down and controlled on the ground. So
yeah, he went off for 4 of 9 takedowns.
Yeah, still a really, really young fighter. He still has a lot of time to, you know, get everything fixed. But... it was Sean Brady's night. He put together a hell of a performance. He is now 12-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC, with both of his victories coming by decision. And then Ismael Nurdaev is now 19-4 overall, 2-2 in the UFC, and he has suffered both of his UFC losses by decision.
Oof.
So Slim and I start out 0-1 on the night. And then moving on to the featherweight division.
Our first disagreement of the night, we had Dana White, Tuesday Night Contender Series standout, Alon Cruz, going up against Spike Carlisle, the Alpha Ginger.
Yeah, so I was confident about this one. I was. I had Alon Cruz and, you know, a couple of my DraftKings, so I was confident he was going to be able to use his long, rangy body pretty much to just kind of control this fight.
Dude, he looks so big in there.
He does. He's a really big featherweight, but, man, Spike Carlisle fucking throws them things.
Dude, threw the Travis Brown elbows up back against the cage, just like,
bink, bink, bink. Dude, that shit was fucking crazy. And I was cracking up when he was walking out. Brett Okamoto called him Spark Carlisle and, like, just didn't even catch it. Like, I was geeked about that.
Spark Carlisle.
I could see how, you know.
Yeah, that you did happen. It last week. Sparky Spike.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sparlisle, that's what you would call
Sparlisle.
But yeah, good call on by Slim on this one. You know, I was thinking, fuck, Slim had just, would you do tie it up on that? Or no, you were within one on that one. You got it to win within one.
No, it was made me zero. So we tied it up.
You tied it up at that point.
Oh. So I was only down one last week.
So yeah, I'm sitting here like, fuck, man, Slim really is doing this shit. I'm about to have a bad night. Alon Cruz just fucked up my DraftKings.
Ugh. You were sick. The shit you were texting
me, bro. I said I'm done with DraftKings. I'm never doing this shit again.
Done with MMA DraftKings. This shit is fucking stupid. And I was like, oh well, look at this one. Like this one, I don't give a fuck. I said fuck that shit.
I said fuck it. Because Slim said he was like, thank God nobody picked Spike Carlisle or something. Like sent me a picture. I was like, fuck that shit. Nobody gives a fuck.
You're so mad. I get to see you just sit there throwing shit. Like,
oh, salty as fuck.
Don't worry. It didn't last long.
Well, yeah, anyways, Spike Carlisle, 1 minute and 25 seconds into the very first round, defeating Alon Cruz, tying me and Slim up. Spike Carlisle, now 9-1 overall, 1-0 in the UFC, and he's earned 8 of his 9 career victories by stoppage.
Wow.
Alon Cruz is now... I don't think that's right. Hold on. Yeah, he's now 8-3 overall, and then he's 1-1, or I'm sorry, 0-1 in the UFC, and he's suffered all 3 of his career losses by stoppage now. So, yeah, good for Slim getting back on track. And then this one starts. We're staying in the featherweight division. We have TJ Downtown Brown going up against Jordan Griffin. And the first 2.5 rounds pretty much were all TJ Brown.
Yeah. 7 of 7 for takedowns.
I mean, just controlling.
He had absolute dominant control. There was no way Jordan was getting out of that.
And Jordan's a great grappler.
Right. And it was insane. He gets taken down for the last time and pulls off this guillotine choke that I was like, oh, he's just holding on there. Like, he could get Von Flued if he keeps holding on. No, he tapped him. He choked him out.
Oh, no. No, I thought totally different. I saw how TJ Brown kept going in with his neck out like that, and there was almost 2 other times before this choke where TJ Brown almost got choked. You know, Jordan Griffin had him in some serious trouble, yeah. So I was thinking it's almost kind of a matter of time. And then TJ Brown, for whatever reason, dropped. I mean, he had a nice clinch position. He could have just kept working with knees and elbows on Griffin. And he ended up just dropping down for a double leg. And Jordan Griffin just got a modified guillotine and just kind of put his forearm right under TJ Brown's neck.
That was nasty.
Put him out cold.
Yeah. Now at the end, when he started like just threw that other arm in there. Oh, that was nasty.
Yeah, so
like I said, at first I didn't think it was had much on it.
No, I could tell. I could tell once they got to that other angle that TJ Brown was not able to get his head out, and yeah, I figured he was gonna tap out. But more credit to him for, you know, just going to sleep. But that's definitely something he needs to work on, because he was controlling that entire fight. But when he's going for those takedowns, I mean, Jordan Griffin was pretty much easily able to sync up submissions on him. So. Right. You know, I thought it was a good performance by TJ Brown up until that point. Credit to Jordan Griffin, though, for staying really confident throughout the entire fight. Wasn't worried that he was getting taken down. He kind of just seemed like he was just letting everything come to him. And when he was able to sink that choke in, he made the most of it.
Props to him.
So that gets Slim back into the losing column, luckily for me. making me a little bit happy. I was a little bit worried there. TJ Brown, now 14-7 overall. 0-1 in the UFC. He suffered 6 of his 7 career losses by stoppage. And then on the other hand, Jordan Griffin is now 18-7 overall. What's his UFC record? Something you got that real quick?
No, I don't.
But yeah, he's done all right in the UFC so far. So
I think so, you know.
No, I think he's lost in the UFC.
Maybe.
But yeah, Jordan Griffin defeats TJ Brown via technical submission, guillotine choke. That was 3 minutes and 38 seconds into the second round. And we move on to the lightweight division. Me and Slim agreed on this one.
Yeah, we had Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, going up against the Mean Machine, Steve Garcia. I believe Steve is naturally featherweight.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit smaller. Well, he fought on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series as a featherweight.
And he missed weight, yeah.
So they kind of were like, you know, you're a lightweight now.
Yeah, pretty much. But man, Violent Bob Ross does it again. Now 4-1 in the UFC. Absolute dominant control in this fight. Steve Garcia was actually landing shots like from...
Yeah,
like he like while Luis Pena was on his back and he just throwing punches.
Luis Pena had him had his back with a body triangle.
That was super weird.
I mean that this happened all three rounds mean, that was pretty much the story of this fight was Luis Pena's back control. And big credit to him in his after, you know, his post fight speech. He said, you know, that's not the way I fight. You know, I'm sorry to the fans for this performance, but you know, at the end of the day, I got to feed my family. You know, I got to do what I got to do to get this win. And, you know, such a respectable, I mean, to come out and just, you know, say that, be honest with the fans. How awesome is that?
Right. And he found his biological family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
I actually saw a video of him hugging his brother. You know, a great embrace. I mean, it was really his post-fight speech was really, really touching. If you haven't heard it, I would definitely recommend looking up Luis Pena's post-fight speech. You know, kind of just like encouraging people to, you know, go find their family. If you have lost family members like Luis Pena, you know, go find them, go talk to them, you know, make shit right.
Right.
So big credit to him for being a role model and, you know, just staying being a popular fighter. I mean, he is so sellable. It's crazy.
I think he's going to the top.
Along with his talent. I mean, he only had that, one split decision loss.
Yeah.
But, you know, since then, he's just been amazing. So shout out to him for another great performance, defeating Steve Garcia. All three judges had it 30-27. I could have even seen it going maybe 30-26 on this one. But, yeah, Luis Pena with a much-needed win to keep shooting himself into this star trajectory that a lot of people think he has. Steve Garcia now 11-4 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. He has suffered 3 of his 4 career losses by decision, and Luis Pena is now 8-2 overall. I believe he's 4-1 in the UFC, something like that.
Luis, yeah.
But, yeah. Good for us getting that one right.
Yeah, onto the heavyweight division. Another disagreement. We had Marcin Tybura going up against Sergey Spivak. Man,
so why do you think Spivak was going to win this one?
Because did you see the shots he was landing?
Yeah, no,
every single time
he has good stand up. It was this is a known thing,
and he absolutely ran over Tai Tuivasa.
True.
So I was like, all right,
but Tai Tuivasa has been getting beat up by everybody, literally.
True, but. I thought he was going to be able to, you know, just put the hands on Tybura because he's been knocked out in, 4 of his last 5?
Is it that bad?
You're pretty sure he's been getting knocked out.
He got knocked out by Sakai. Yeah, 3 of his last 4, he's gotten knocked out.
Yeah. So,
3 of his last 4 losses, not fights.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking. But no, it didn't happen like that. Marcin Tybura outweighed Spivak by about 12 pounds, and you could tell it showed. I mean, Tybura was, every time he was on top, he was carrying his weight very well, and Sergey just absolutely had no answer once he got down to the ground. He was lost.
He has a submission game, which was crazy, but that must just be all of offensive submissions because he wasn't able to work anything at all from his back, and Tybura just had a really great game plan. That was his first fight with his new team at Syndicate MMA, so obviously a great move there for him. I just this fight kind of just went how I thought it'd go. You know, I thought Tybura would be able to use his strength to just pretty much control Spivak. I knew Spivak had that potential to knock Tybura out, but as you saw, Tybura's chin was holding up, luckily for him, in this one. So that moves Sergey Spivak to 10-2 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. That was the first decision loss of his career, and he also went to the third round for the first time in his career in this one. And then...
sad.
Marcin Tybura is now 18-6 overall. I don't have his UFC record either. My bad. But yeah, great performance from him. Hopefully, you know, with his new team, he can maybe make another run into that top 15.
Yeah.
So that moves me on the night to a whopping 3-2. And then Slim is 2-3.
Gross.
P.U. Moving on to this next one. I'm sorry. I thought it was the featured preliminary bout. We got one more.
Yeah, it was Brendan Allen going up against Tom Breese. And, dude, Brendan Allen just continues to absolutely dominate.
I was really surprised that Tom Breese was the favorite in this one.
Shocked at that.
I mean, me and Slim.
Breese was off for, what, a year and 9 months?
Yeah, something like that. And then Brendan Allen, I mean, his only losses were to Trevin Giles, Eric Anders, and...
Fluffy.
Yeah, so...
That was Santa Hernandez.
Right, so it's like...
Last week, I was thinking... I misspoke last week. I was thinking it was the 155er, Alexander Hernandez. Oh, yeah. Who, by the way, is fighting...
he did just have...
The Russian...
Makhachev.
Yeah, Islam Makhachev. Woohoo! That's gonna
be a good one. Yeah.
Woo! Anyway, Brendan Allen losing against Fluffy Anthony Hernandez, who is also in the UFC right now. So that might be something to match him up with.
Brendan Allen, his only losses are to quality UFC fighters. So, yeah. And he's only, what, like 24, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, come on, bro. Like, this dude's talent is something else. And he called for that rematch with Trevin Giles. Make that happen.
Love it.
He wants to avenge all of his losses.
I love that.
Let him go for it.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I think he's beaten them all.
Ooh.
Eric Anders? I think he's taking him down.
Eric Anders had a good performance his last time out.
Yeah, but I think he's getting taken down.
I don't know, but I do think Brendan Allen's really good. Yeah. I do know that. I think those are all really good fights. You know, I think he can hang with all of them for sure. I don't know if he can beat them, but I want to see him versus Trevin Giles first. Let him get his first revenge rematch. Let's get it. Make that happen. So Brendan Allen defeated Tom Breese via TKO, elbows and punches. That was 4 minutes and 47 seconds into the very first round. And Brendan Allen's now 14-3 overall. 2-0 in the UFC, and he's earned 13 of his 14 career victories by stoppage, which includes both of his UFC wins.
Yes.
Tom Breese, on the other hand, now 11-2 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. He's 1-1 since he went up to that middleweight division, and that was the first knockout loss of his career. So,
interesting.
That moves me to 4-2 on the night, and Slim is 3-3.
And on to the next disagreement we had. Gabriel Silva going up against Kyler Phillips. Man,
so
two fighters with not, like, both less than 10 fights.
Yeah.
Getting the
right
prime spot in this.
Right. And, you know, from what I had picked up from what I had seen from both of these guys, Gabriel Silva, good stand-up. Goes to the ground if he needs to, but he'll stand with you if he needs to. Kyler Phillips, on the other hand, I knew his stand-up was good. I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah.
That I knew he had some good ground game. Sounded nasty. I didn't know his ground game was that good, though.
Right.
He was able to just keep himself on the feet when he needed to. Towards the end of the fight, he even landed a sick takedown. To pretty much cement the victory for himself.
Yeah, it was pretty even in the first round, but dude, just moving on, you could just tell it was Kyler's fight to win.
Yeah,
each fighter landing two takedowns apiece, but Kyler Phillips outstriking Silva 112-43,
mm-hmm. And slick striking too. I mean, had some beautiful technique. I mean, definitely somebody to watch out for in the bantamweight division. Like, mm-hmm. I'm excited to see who they give him next. Because
was he on Contender Series?
No, he fought on the Ultimate Fighter, where he lost to Brad Katona.
That's right, that's right.
And then he went to...
Look where they're at now.
Yeah, and then they went to... I think he went to the LFA and lost a split decision. And then won his one before that.
Gotcha.
Before this one. And got to the UFC. So yeah, Kyler Phillips defeated Gabriel Silva. That was 30-27 across the board. And that improves my record to... 5-2 on the night, and Slim falls to 3-4.
Yuck.
And that was your preliminary card on ESPN Plus. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to. Gabriel Silva is now 8-2 overall. He's 0-2 in the UFC after starting that career 8-0. Really looking to get himself back on track. He's also Eric Silva's little brother. I don't know if we mentioned that ever.
I don't know, but that is
no,
a fact.
No, he. Oh, if we mentioned it, I thought you were saying, like, oh, I don't know if he is. I feel like, Jesus.
I don't know if that's true, Monty.
Silva has suffered both of his career losses by decision as well. On the other hand, Kyler Phillips improves his record to 7-1 overall, and he is 1-0 in the UFC.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on to a very, very exciting main card.
Yes, we have Grant. Dude,
my bad. I forgot to fucking say that. Jordan Griffin got himself a performance of the night bonus, and then Kyler Phillips and Gabriel Silva got fight of the night.
True. First fight of the night, the main card, we had Grant KGD.
I got to bring it up. Why switch it from KGB, D. or I'm sorry, from the Prophet to KGB?
It's D.
KG, what? KGD?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm assuming...
King Grant Dawson?
Or Killer Grant Dawson or something. Yeah.
Whack. The Prophet was cool.
Whack.
The Prophet was cool.
His why stance, whack. His nickname, whack.
Why didn't he just stick with the Prophet?
I don't know.
And he missed weight by 4.5 pounds.
Right.
Like, damn, fam. Jeez. Damn, anyways, fam. So apparently the background behind this fight was both of these guys are from Nebraska. The entire time they were fighting on the local scene, they thought they were going to cross paths. Never happened. And then Derek Minor on, or Minner on short notice gets a shot at Grant Dawson. Apparently there was a little bit of bad blood. Some words were exchanged between the two. Not too much mutual respect going into the fight. And then Grant Dawson just, I mean, first round, Derek Minner did good.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely thought Grant Dawson would be dominating more than he did. Derek Minner had a great first round.
Must have been a bad weight cut.
But coming out into the second round, Grant Dawson just took control of the fight, ended up getting Derek Minner on the ground, and sunk in one of his strong rear naked chokes.
That was the end of that one.
Yeah, so Grant Dawson defeated Derek Minner, ending that small little local Nebraskan rivalry. That was 1 minute and 38 seconds into the second round. Grant Dawson is now 15-1 overall, 3-0 in the UFC, 14 of his 15 career victories by stoppage.
Wow.
Derek Minner, on the other hand, 24-11 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. And he has suffered 10 of his 11 career victories by stoppage. As we mentioned last week, he has a great submission game offensively, terrible submission game defensively. And we saw that in this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, me and Slim got that one right. Good for us.
On to this next one. Did y'all forget who Megan Anderson is?
I guess. Shit.
She's taking on Norma Dumont. Who had four fights. No, she wasn't the one with four fights.
Yeah, huh?
I'm pretty sure that was...
Nope, you'd be wrong.
Okay. She was four fights.
Yeah.
Megan Anderson. What? A minus 250 favorite?
So apparently... That's it? Apparently, doing my research on Norma Dumont, she had lived in Brazil. Or I'm sorry, she's from Brazil. She was actually a 5- or 6-time Sanda champion. In her state, and then one-time national champion as well. So apparently, you know, in those fights, pretty big crowds, you know, local Brazilian crowds get pretty ruckus. So she was saying she was, you know, pretty used to it. And you saw that when she was coming out. She was really confident. She seemed ready. And I mean, honestly, she impressed me up until, you know, Megan started kind of having her way with her. But yeah. I don't think Norma Dumont made a much better first impression on me than, for example, Zarafaren Dos Santos did in her first fight in the UFC. So, yeah, I think Norma Dumont is a good. She should stay around in the 145 division. I think she can. I think she can be something.
Yeah,
get her some more experience. But man, Megan Anderson, what a performance!
Big right hand.
Oh, and when it landed, she just dropped like a sack of potatoes, and Megan just came up, hit one follow up punch, and it was over. And rightfully so. I mean, she was out.
Yeah, Jack's favorite hottest fighter taking the dub in this one.
So unbelievable performance by Megan Anderson. rightfully so, she got herself a performance of the night bonus. I knew as soon as she landed that bitch that she was getting one of those. So Megan Anderson improves her record now to 10-4 overall. She is 3-2 in the UFC. Her three victories in the UFC women's featherweight division are second most in divisional history behind Cyborg's four. Her three stoppage victories are the most in divisional history, and her two knockout victories are tied with Cyborg for most in divisional history.
Wow.
Norma Dumont, on the other hand, 4-1 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. You know, that four fights winning streak does come to an end, but like I said, I think she's a very talented fighter. I do think she belongs in the UFC's 145-pound division.
Yeah.
And, yeah, me and Slim getting hot on the main card, and then we have a disagreement.
Oh, man.
Ooh, hold on. I need some water because I've been excited to talk about this.
So we had Ion Kutalaba come up against Magomed Ankalaev. Two crazy strikers. Magomed Ankalaev just stoic as always, just with a little grin on his face. And Ion Kutalaba just the absolute killer madman that he is.
The definition of a madman.
Dude.
Him and Michelle Pereira are the definition of madman in the UFC.
So Bruce Buffer's announcing Ion Kutalaba's name, and Ion, you know, usually fighters walk out to the middle of the ring, put their hands up, stare at their opponent, get the crowd going, whatever. Ion
starts walking to the middle of the cage.
And didn't stop. No, he walks all the way into Magomed and clinches with him.
Well, Magomed
tried to throw him off.
He immediately got double underhooks. Dom would have been proud and just tossed him aside pretty much.
Right. It was insane.
One of the craziest things I've ever seen. Mixed martial arts match.
The Virginia State Athletic Commission was just kind of watching it happen. They're in the cage.
The security didn't stop him.
No, they're just looking like, what is he going to do?
The one dude kind of got close, and I think he was like, oh, shit. Don't do it. Ah, he did it.
Now I got to get in between. Insane.
And then Ion, while he's walking away, points to the middle of the cage. So when they came out, they went to the middle of the cage.
I'm like, and started exchanging. Shit.
So, Magomed lands a nice clean, I think it was either a kick or a punch.
Head kick.
And Ion starts wobbling. So when that happens, the first one, I'm like, oh, damn. You know, he wobbled him that quick, blah, 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 blah. They start fighting again. As soon as Magomed got close, Ion threw a bomb. So that was my first,
Yeah, like he's all right.
So he kind of backs up. Magomed goes back in. Boom, boom, boom. Hits, throws another head kick. And it kind of deflected off Ion. It looked good.
It went more to the body.
It looked good live, but it kind of deflected off the forearm. And then I see Ion start doing it again. And then Ankalaev got close, and another bomb was thrown by Kutalaba. So now at this point, I'm like, oh, he's playing possum. Like, I knew it live. I knew it was happening live. And then the third one happened. Magomed goes into another combination, ends it with a head kick. Same exact thing. It pretty much happened three times in a row. Kutalaba let him get close and threw he was throwing a punch as the fight was stopped.
Right. Like threw a fucking haymaker from down under.
Like Kevin McDonald had to avoid the punch.
Right.
As he was stopping it. So I see both sides of it. Okay. I see protecting the fighter, because if you are Kevin McDonald, you don't know, you know,
you're watching this dude wobble, you know, baby legs around the ring.
Yeah. So, but I do think Kevin McDonald needed to use some communication. Fight or fight back, you know, something like, yeah, or, yeah, you know, protect yourself, you right. know, something like that.
Right.
Give him a warning, you know, don't just jump in. But at the same time, Ion should have been, he needs to have the fight IQ to see that Kevin McDonald, the first time that he did the wobble, Kevin McDonald was on it. I mean, yeah. he looked like he was ready to stop it right there. So as soon as he saw that, he should have been like, all right, fuck this shit. Like,
right. So I see Kutalaba was playing such good possum that he even fooled the referee. Kevin McDonald stopped the fight at 41 seconds in the first round. Ion was pissed.
We might have our first official submission for ANA MMA Douche Move of the Year by Kevin McDonald. But it's excusable.
I don't know if it's a douche move, but I would say Ion walking all the way across the cage is a douche move.
More of a douche move?
Yes. Because he just ran right into him. Like, what? Yeah, like, I thought he was going to get in his face and say something. No, he just bumped chest. Yeah. Like, what?
And got deflected
Are
off.
Are you fucking Diego Sanchez losing your mind? Like,
that shit was wild.
Bro.
Did you see his suit game, though?
Who?
Ion Kutalaba.
No.
Beautiful suit game.
Really?
He had, like, three different suits fight week. Shit was looking crispy.
Okay. All right. What where's he from?
Moldova.
Oh.
So
they have to run this back.
Absolutely. Just such a wacky fight, man. Shit like this is why you love MMA, though.
Yeah.
You know, just weird shit happens. You never know what the fuck's about to happen. And I guess especially when Kutalaba's in the ring.
Yeah. God, that was wild.
Yeah, that was another disagreement that I got right. I'm on a tear right now. That's a clean four in a row for me. Ugh. So, you know, poor Slim. Boo-hoo.
Go home. All right, going on to this next one. We had Felicia Spencer taking on Sarah Farron. Felicia Spencer, biggest favorite on the card by a mile. Yeah. What was she, minus 800 or something like that? So, Zara is really tall.
Yeah.
Way taller than Felicia. Had a huge reach.
She's more of a striker.
Was throwing a jab out there pretty nice, and like it was hitting Felicia.
Yeah.
But then as soon as Felicia was like, let's go to the ground, that was it. It was over.
Over. You knew it, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no chance.
Yeah, you knew it. Especially when she got into that top mount. I mean, Zara had no clue what to do.
No.
She was just getting destroyed. So, yeah, obviously, ref had to step in on that one. So, that sets us up with this question. Well, let me go ahead and get into this first. Felicia Spencer defeated Zara Farron dos Santos via TKO, elbows and punches. That was 1 minute and 37 seconds into the very first round. Felicia Spencer's now 8-1 overall, 2-1 in the UFC. 6 of her 8 career victories are by stoppage, which includes both of her UFC wins. Zara Farron, on the other hand, 6-4 overall, 0-2 in the UFC. First time she's been knocked out. All right. That brings us to the question of who gets Amanda Nunes next at 145. Is it Felicia Spencer? Is it Megan Anderson? Slim, let's hear your take on it.
Felicia beat Megan.
Correct.
So I think she should get it. She had a tough fight against Cyborg.
Yeah.
I think she's the better candidate.
I wish there was... It can't happen, I guess, because Amanda Nunes needs an opponent. But I wish they could just run that one back. I'd love to see Megan Anderson versus Felicia Spencer for the title. Like a straight title eliminator.
Eliminator.
And
both of them need to fight.
Neither of them got hurt.
I mean, both of them need to fight Amanda at some point. I'd say, fuck it, Amanda. Just take them both down.
In one night.
Yes. With one arm each. No, like three. One. Take one down in July. Take the other down in August.
I feel that.
Or June. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A couple months apart.
Yeah,
fuck
right.
Fuck it.
Yeah, I feel that. I know it doesn't make too much sense to have them fight again, but I don't know. Just me personally, I'd like to see
it
again.
It makes sense. It's just like you said, Amanda, just hanging out.
Especially because, like, they were, like, this was kind of like, you know, kind of like a cement yourself. Kind of like how there was the Jan Blachowicz and Corey Anderson. Like, you guys need to cement yourself. Well, both of these...
Both first round finishes.
Megan Anderson, 3 minutes 31 seconds. Felicia Spencer, 3 minutes 37 seconds. 6 seconds apart. I mean, fuck. But yeah, nonetheless, great performance by Felicia Spencer. If I did have to pick out of the two, I would give it to Felicia to go fight Amanda Nunes. So yeah, that was the co-main event there. And we move on to the main event. So earlier, you guys are like, oh yeah. And we actually disagreed on 5 before this. My bad. I went 5-1 on you, Slim. I thought I went six. I thought I went 4-1 on you. I went 5-1 on your ass. Mm. But you guys might be like, why is there an extra pick? Well, if you guys didn't know yet, Davison Figueiredo had missed weight by 2.5 pounds.
Yep.
Just almost
first
ruining,
time ever missing weight.
Almost ruining the entire card. Just kind of putting a damper on things, right?
Almost ruining the flyweight division.
Pretty much, yeah.
So at this point,
yeah. Let's go through Slim's head.
At this point, I'm Team Benavidez, and most other people were too. Because if Davison wins, it's just going to fuck everything up. Technically, Henry will be still champ because there's still no champion at 125. It's just a mess if Davison wins. So I'm rooting for Benavidez at this point.
So Slim texts me and says, so can we both switch our pick to Benavidez? And I'm like, hold on. Uh-uh. Just because my man missed weight doesn't mean I think Benavidez is going to win. Hmm. So, Slim uses his one switcheroony for the year, and it backfired.
Big time.
And I loved going into the fight how, I understand if it was a championship fight, it would have been cooler or whatever, but there was kind of just like this hero-villain type feel to
it. That's what it was.
Davison Figueiredo, when he was even walking into the building, he just looked like a villain, like... It just it was all just kind of building up into this weird kind of storyline that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Bro, did you see when they did the fucking build up to this fight? It was like Joseph talking about like, yeah, I drew this one and this is another thing I drew and this is another
what?
Painting
no?
by me. And then it cuts to Davison and he's riding a fucking ox. Bro. I was like, yo, or no, like a water buffalo or some crazy shit. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, my ESPN was fucked up. So, ESPN, if that was your fault, I don't know if it was what was going on.
What happened?
My shit just kept cutting out.
Oh.
I got to keep refreshing the app. I was fucking pissed.
Well, mine was doing that, too, because I was on shitty work Wi-Fi. But,
yeah. But, what was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, going into the fight, though, first round, it was kind of how I expected.
Joe was landing more shots, but Davison was landing the more meaningful shots.
More effective shots, right?
You could tell he was just trying to find his range, and it was only a matter of time.
Yeah. But going into the second round, Davison just kind of unleashed the barrage. And and a lot of people are saying, and Joe did get opened up by a bad head clash.
Yeah,
and
a headbutt.
A lot of people are saying, you know, that was a game changer, but I mean,
well, as soon as after it happened, Joe looked different. He's wiping the blood off his head, and then literally within 10 seconds, got knocked out.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it did have an effect on him, it wobbled him a little bit because he got hit right on the temple. I mean, that, you know, we've seen people get knocked out from that.
I don't know. I just feel like Davison at that point had just started pouring it on and. I think
well,
it was,
that too.
I think it was just going to happen. Because that right hand was right down the pike, man. I mean, that was a vicious knockout.
Yeah. So your new flyweight, the winner of the fight, Davison Figueiredo.
Yeah.
If I knock out in the second round, they interviewed Joe at the end. I didn't like that.
Dude, they need to stop that shit.
It was Bisping. What? Like Joe Rogan already said, like, I'm not doing that anymore. And fucking Bisping was like, fuck
it's
it,
because,
Joe.
Like,
how you feel, bud?
My whole thing is, like, what do you want him to say? What have we gotten out of any of those interviews ever?
Yeah.
We got
the Cormier crying gift.
We haven't gotten, yeah, like, exactly. We haven't gotten anything, like, good or meaningful or inspirational. None of that. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Got your fucking ass
even
beat.
Cowboy trying to smile through it. Like, nah, bro. Nobody wants to see that shit. Like, mm-mm. Stop the loop. Post-fight losing, like, that'd be, like, I mean, when you go to fucking, when you look at other sports, NFL, fucking, like, they're not right there after it happens.
Well,
you
they
know,
do it in boxing.
What, interview the losing fighter?
And the big fights.
Fuck boxing. Who gives a fuck?
But, like I said, it was Bisping. Bisping obviously did not have the same views on interviewing the losing fighter, especially after they got knocked out, as Joe Rogan does. If it was a decision loss, okay, fuck it. Interview. Like the Paul Felder thing. That was super cool.
Right.
But when they get knocked out, you probably shouldn't talk to him for a little bit.
Hey, right, dude. Like,
let them go get their wits about him. Mm. Yeah, Joe is obviously super upset. There was another really sad video from the outside of the cage of Megan just like staring in, like looking all worried, and like they wouldn't let her in. And it was real sad, real sad for Joe. So Joe Benavides now joins some unfortunate company who fighters who have gone 0-3 in title fights. He joins Uriah Faber, Dan Henderson, Chael Sonnen, Kenny Florian, Pedro Rizzo, and Alexander Gustafsson. Mm. No one has ever gone 0-4. Do you think he will if they run it back?
Yeah. I do.
You don't think he's going to come back better?
I don't think anybody in the flyweight division's beaten Joseph Benavidez right now. Or not, I mean, Davison Figueiredo.
Well, Juicy Arab just beat him last year.
Yeah, but I think right now he's focused. Juicy Arab got beat too. He got broken down. He's still trying to build it back up. Run them if Joe's not ready anytime soon. Because Davison didn't take too much damage at all.
I say fuck it. Henry, go beat up Jose and then go back down and fight for the real belt.
You think Henry's just going to beat up Jose like that?
No.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I gotcha. Henry versus Davison.
I gotcha. All right. Well, on the night, I went 10-2, and Slim went 6-6. Fucking brutal, man. After bringing it back so quick, Slim, you fall right back down into the hole you dug. So, on the year, I am 45-27. Slim is 40-33. Still good, though. Those are good records.
I guess.
Which takes us into, I gotta say, so far, biggest card of the year.
All my friends make fun of me because...
you always say, like, this is the biggest one?
Yeah. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm watching these fights, and they're like, oh, is it the biggest one of the year?
They're assholes.
But they're not wrong because the next one's always bigger than the last.
Fuck your friends.
So far, This is turning out to be true. This card is stacked.
Dude, I mean, it's wild.
Fucking Vegas, baby.
So, yeah, Slim and I are going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll be right back to give you guys a preview on two title fights.
Two.
Slim's favorite fighter of all time.
Yes.
Taking part in a legendary bout to help cement his legacy and start his path as being one of the GOATs.
Both this weekend, too. I can't wait.
All right. We'll be right back, guys.
Injected it in my eyeballs. Sorry, we're back. So we got UFC 248 this weekend. Let's fucking get into it.
It got injected into my eyeballs.
All right, the very first fight of the night, we got Guido Canetti taking on... Why do I think that said Daniel Bergoglio?
Oh, so now you know who that is.
I know who that is. I don't know her other name. Dana Batgirl. Oh, Batgirl.
Batgirl, yeah. Batgirl is back.
Yeah, baby.
Girl.
Batgirl is back. He hasn't fought... Oh, no, that wasn't that long ago. It was August. Guido Canetti. Guido Canetti's 40?
Yeah.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. You wouldn't think it, but yeah. And, I mean, he's fought some people, bro. Go name
I know.
Some people Guido Canetti.
Diego Rivas, Marlon Vera, Kyung Ho Kang.
Yeah. So, looking at the tail of the tape here, Dana Batgirl is 30 years old. As Slim mentioned, Guido Ninja Canetti is 40 years old. 5'7 for Batgirl, and Canetti is 5'6. And then a 2-inch reach advantage for Batgirl. Also, Guido Canetti's been out 15 months, so that's something to watch there. Some possible ring rust. And this will be the first time that Batgirl is facing a southpaw. So that'll be something to watch out for as well. But he's been training at Jackson Wink MMA. I'm sure he's seen a lot in the training room there. So looking at how they get it done and their records, Batgirl is 6-2 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. Guido Canetti, 8-4 overall, 2-3 in the UFC. He's pretty well-rounded on how he gets it done. He has 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, 2 decisions, and then Batgirl, power in his hands with 3 knockouts, 1 submission, 2 decisions. Guido Canetti, though, all 4 of his career losses are by submission. Hmm. He's never been knocked out or taken to a decision and lost. And then Batgirl, both of his career losses are by decision. So it's clear how you can beat these guys. Batgirl.
He did get TKO'd on The Ultimate Fighter.
Ah.
By Alejandro Perez.
Good call. Looking at the stats, significant strikes, 5.6 landed for Batgirl. Very active. He has a plus 3.2 strike differential, so that's really, really good. Only a plus 0.8 for Canetti, but he doesn't absorb too many. He, has pretty good strike accuracy. And then he will also, Canetti that is, have all grappling advantage. He has more takedowns per 15 minutes, better accuracy, better takedown defense, and averages more submissions per 15 minutes. Looking at the odds on this one, they're currently sitting with Batgirl as the minus 150 favorite over the plus 120 Guido Canetti. Hasn't Batgirl beaten... did he beat Kai Kara France and somebody else? I know he beat Kai Kara France.
Yes.
Is there another name that he beat? No, just Kai Kara France? Okay. This is a tough one, man. Let me get Batgirl to use active striking to get himself his first UFC victory.
Same.
ANA MMA. Going to agree on this one. We're both going with the minus 150 favorite, Dana Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Yeah, moving on to the second fight of the night.
Jamal Pretty Boy Emmers taking on Giga Chikadze.
So you guys might be like, oh yeah, I remember you guys said Giga Chikadze was going to fight last week, but his dude canceled on him. Well, what they did was go ahead and move him over to fight Jamal Emmers because Movsar Evloev apparently got in a car accident in Russia and had to back out.
He was supposed to fight Mike Davis, actually.
Who? Giga Chikadze was.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Jamal Emmers was supposed to fight Movsar Evloev.
Oh.
So, mind your damn business.
Whoa.
So, yeah, they moved Giga Chikadze over to this one. Now, Jamal Pretty Boy Emmers, this is going to be his first career UFC fight. Might stick in the head of some UFC fans from his Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, where he was going into it super hyped and then ended up getting knocked out by Julian Arosa, of all people.
But went on a 4-fight winning streak from that. All finishes.
Right, right. His last 6 fights have all been finishes, so he's all action. And then Chikadze, 7 of his 8 wins have came in round 1. So there's going to be some sparks flying early in this one. I'll let you guys know that. Pretty close in age. Chikadze is only 1 year older at 31. He will also have a 2.5-inch height advantage. Both men have a 74-inch reach, respectively. 8-2 overall for Chikadze. He's 1-0 in the UFC. And then Jamal Emmers, 17-4 overall, obviously making his UFC debut. Looking at how they get their wins, both of these guys prefer the knockout. Giga Chikadze, of his eight wins, five of them are by knockout, two submissions, one decision. He's always looking for the stoppage. And then Jamal Emmers, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, 7 decisions. So he's also really, really good at getting that stoppage as well. But he has been knocked out twice. He's been submitted once, and he's lost a decision once, whereas Chikadze has only been submitted one time and lost one decision. This is going to be a fun one to watch on the feet. And then if it does go to the ground, I do think Jamal Emmers will hold the advantage. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles that, if he's going to test himself early on the feet versus Chikadze and then maybe go to the ground if it comes down to it. I'm really excited to see how this one goes. But I'm going to go ahead and take Jamal Emmers to get UFC victory on his debut.
I'll do the same.
ANA, MMA, going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jamal Emmers. And he's got some... he's actually fought a lot of... in 2013, he fought Alexander Hernandez. He fought Ray Trujillo. He fought Thiago Moises in LFA. Wow. He beat Corey Sandhagen in LFA.
What?
Yeah. He's Corey Sandhagen's, I believe, one loss.
Oh, shit. Damn.
He was tearing it up before he lost to Julian Arosa. It might have been those, Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. It's kind of a weird thing. So, you know, maybe that's what happened. But he also beat Kyle Machado, Jay Cuccinello, who made it to the Ultimate Fighter finale. So, yeah, I mean, he's got some really quality wins. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jamal Emmers.
In this next fight, we go to the women's flyweight division. We have Emily Spitfire Whitmire going up against the Robber Stopper, Poliana Viana, who's on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah. This one's interesting because I kind of feel like it's just like one of those, fight for your UFC life type fights. For real. So,
maybe.
Possibly, but I don't know. They both kind of have their back to the wall.
Emily's 2-2. That's better than 1-3.
She's 4-3 overall. She lost her last one. So yeah. Anyways, so looking at the tail of the tape here, Poliana is 1 year younger at 27. Both ladies are 5'5", and Poliana will have a 2.5-inch reach advantage in this one. I'm sorry, 3.5-inch reach advantage. Looking at their records and how they get it done, Emily Spitfire Whitmire is 4-3 overall. As Slim mentioned, she's 2-2 in the UFC. And then Poliana Viana is 10-4 overall and 1-3 in the UFC. Looking at how they get it done, all of Poliana's all of her victories are by stoppages. She has 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. She has been submitted one time, and she has 3 decision losses. So the further Emily Whitmire can take this fight, the deeper into the fight it goes, the more it goes into her favor.
Right.
Looking at how Whitmire has gotten her wins, she has 3 decision victories and 1 submission. So that shows that she likes doing that anyways. But she has had all 3 of her career losses by submission.
Mm.
With a dangerous submission artist like Poliana Viana, that scares me.
That is an interesting stat.
Looking at how they get it done, significant strikes. Poliana does have a plus strike differential. Emily Whitmire has a negative strike differential. That always indicates a big shift. Ooh, bless Ooh. You. In a striking advantage for me. So that'll be going towards Poliana Viana. Emily Spitfire Whitmire, bless you, does have good takedown accuracy. Both of these ladies can land the takedown if they need to, but Poliana will have the submission advantage as well. So, yeah, I got to go with Poliana Viana in this one.
Ooh.
It's even.
It's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em. -115 each.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
Oh, come on, Slim. He's getting a little triggered. He's scared. You don't like it. You pulling the trigger.
Gun shy.
All right, A&A MMA going to agree on this one. I believe that is three agreements in a row for A&A MMA. That'll be your early preliminary card. Of course, that'll be on ESPN Plus or Fight Pass, whichever you prefer. Moving on to the preliminary card, which will be aired on ESPN.
This one slaps.
This is a really, really good preliminary card. I will say that.
This is a slapper. This is a... We got Darian Wynn going up against GM3, Gerald Meerschaert, the Meerkat.
So, one of the most interesting tale of the tapes you'll hear, as Gerald Meerschaert's 2 years older at 32 years old, but he will have a 7-inch height advantage over Darian Wynn and a 7.5-inch reach advantage.
Wow.
I mean, that is... I mean, everybody in the division is bigger than Darian Wynn, but Gerald Meerschaert's big. So, I mean, it's just going to be... It's going to be interesting to see how they look in there.
Gerald Meerschaert, big.
Meerschaert is 30-12 overall, 5-4 in the UFC. And then Darian Wynn is 6-1 overall, 1-1 in the UFC. Looking at how they get it done, Gerald Meerschaert is a submission artist. He has 22 submissions out of his 30 career victories. 6 knockouts, only 2 decision wins. That's wild. He goes for the stoppage. And then Darian Wynn, he has 4 knockouts and then 2 decision wins. Looking at how they lose, Gerald Meerschaert, one of those really good offensive grapplers, not as good defensively, as he's been submitted 8 times. He's also been knocked out once and taken the decision 3 times and lost. So what stands out to me there is the way to most likely beat Gerald Meerschaert is by submission, and Darian Wynn has 0 submission victories. So it'll be interesting to see if Meerschaert's able to work his offensive submission game against as good of a wrestler as Darian Wynn. So I'd say it's going to be kind of tough to call, because I don't know who's going to really have the advantage on the feet. I think Darian Wynn will have the power advantage, but it's going to be kind of obviously hard for him to get inside and work his punching game on Gerald Meerschaert. And then if it goes to the ground, is Darian Wynn's is he just going to be able to control Meerschaert, or is Meerschaert going to be able to sync something up?
I'm just wondering if he's going to make weight.
Who, Darian Wynn?
Yeah.
I'd take that. I'd say he would. But both of these guys average Meerschaert has, or wait, Darian Wynn has 2.5 takedowns per 15 minutes, and then Meerschaert has 3 takedowns per 15 minutes. I mean, it's just going to be kind of interesting to see how the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt goes against the wrestling 3-time All-American. What are the odds on this one? Darian Wynn currently sitting as the -150 favorite. Give me the underdog. Give me Gerald Meerschaert.
I'm taking Darian Wynn.
A&A MMA with our first disagreement of the night. Slim is going with Darian Wynn, and I'm going to go with the underdog in this one. I'm going to go with Gerald Meerschaert.
Meerkat.
So moving on to the next one, staying in the middleweight division.
Yeah, we got Rodolfo, the black belt Hunter Vieira, going up against Sapper Bex.
I'm a snake. I'm a slithery little snake.
Sapper Bex Safarov.
There you go. Nice. All right. So Rodolfo, the black belt Hunter Vieira, one of, if not the most, just dominant Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist in the game. I mean, he's devastating when he goes on the ground. Right. He's literally one of the most accomplished. I believe he won the Abu Dhabi Classic a couple times. He's a 5-time world Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. I mean, just
something
nuts.
To note. back in November, he actually lost the BJJ Championship final.
To who?
Kainan Duarte?
Kainan Duarte.
D-U-A-R-T-E?
Yeah, Duarte. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is hard. There's some good motherfuckers.
You said it's hard? No shit.
So yeah, looking at the tail of the tape, Vieira, only 30 years old. Safarov is 33. Safarov will also have a 1-inch height advantage and a 5-inch reach advantage. Looking at how they get their wins, Vieira, all 6 of his fights have been won by stoppage. 5 of them by submission, 1 by knockout. Safarov, on the other hand, of his 9 wins, he has 6 knockouts, 2 submissions, 1 decision. He's going to be looking to keep this one on the feet as much as he can. He has been submitted before, and he's been knocked out once. But, yeah, Safarov is going to want to keep this one on the feet. He does have a good strike differential at plus 1.1. He puts a lot of output out when he's on the feet. So be looking for that, for him to just try keeping this one. I can't exaggerate enough. If this goes to the ground, he's in so much trouble, it's not even funny. But he does have 100% takedown defense. So if he can do that, if he can just, you know, see if that takedown defense holds up, I mean, he should be able to sneak this one out, possibly. He is a master of sports and freestyle wrestling and combat sambo. But, yeah, Rodolfo Vieira, man. Just such a dangerous fighter because he can get the job done pretty much wherever he needs to. He is by far the biggest favorite on the card, one of the biggest favorites this year at minus 850.
True.
Give me that. Give me Rodolfo Vieira.
Yeah.
And
Safarov got beat by John Volante.
You hate to see it.
ANA
MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Rodolfo Vieira to defeat Saperbek Safarov.
Ooh, this next one going to be good. We got Mark O. Madsen. Don't you fucking forget that O.
Don't
it
you
stands
fucking forget
for
the
O. Olympian, the Olympic silver medalist. The O, it's Mark O. Madsen. He's taking on Austin Hubbard.
Yeah, so this is going to be a pretty exciting one. Austin Thud Hubbard is 28 Thud. Years old. Mark the Olympian Madsen. Oh, Madsen, 35 years old. So 2-inch height advantage for Hubbard, and Oh, Madsen will have a 1-inch reach advantage. Looking at how they get their wins, Mark Oh, Madsen, 9-0 right now, 1-0 in the UFC. Thud Hubbard, 11-3 overall, 1-1 in the UFC. So you'd think Mark O. Madsen probably tries getting it to the ground, you know, probably trying to get a KO, a TKO. No.
He told him tanks.
He is well-rounded. He has 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, 3 decisions.
Right.
Wherever the fight goes, he's good.
Yep.
Austin Hubbard, on the other hand, he is a finisher in his own right. He has 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, 5 decisions. Now, he has been submitted before, and he has 2 decision losses. Now, Mark O. Madsen, in his last fight, he landed 18.3 significant strikes per minute and didn't absorb any. That's good for a plus 18.3 strike differential. Austin Hubbard is in the negative, and he also landed 12 takedowns in his first UFC fight.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, you know, I believe per 15 minutes. It was like, how many did he land? It was like 6 or something like that. It was something stupid.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. I don't know how Hubbard's going to be able to finesse his way in this one. I just think Marco Madsen, like I said, wherever the fight goes, man, he's got it. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Marco Madsen in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree. We're both going with Mark O. Madsen, which takes us to the featured preliminary bout.
Yeah, speaking of O's, we got Sean O'Malley. Finally!
Fuck, dude.
It's been 2 years.
Oh, man.
Man's grew up on us.
Two years too long.
I say he grew up on us, but we're the same age. but he was 23 the last time he fought. Now he's 25. That's insane. God damn. I was 23 the last time he fought.
What were you doing at 23, Slim?
Same thing we're doing now.
Yep. Ain't a damn thing changed.
No. But he's going up against Jose Alberto Quinones. This fight was originally supposed to happen back in...
forever ago.
What is that? October 2018?
Yeah.
Crazy. But Jose's only had two fights since then. Sean O'Malley, obviously none. He had another canceled fight, too, against Marlon Vera.
You know the Austrian's still showing up on him?
What?
On O'Malley. Like, what? The Austrian is still showing up, and he doesn't know how it's happening.
What do you mean? Oh, the picograms or whatever?
Yeah. Like, he still has Austrian.
Wow.
And I guess this happened with, like, other fighters.
Yeah.
Too, like
John Jones.
Yeah. So, I wonder what's up with that. I wonder if it's, like, something they are taking, maybe something they're eating, or like if it's just like, do people naturally produce Austrian? Maybe.
I don't think so, but who knows. Anyway, yeah, I'm so glad he's back. It's been so long since his last win. Andre Sukumthoth, that was back in March. Oh wow, it's literally been 2 years.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, it was like two. I think it's been 2 years today. That was the last time he fought. It was March 3rd.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, really excited to see him get back in there. I mean, after that fight with Sukumthoth, you just were thinking, like, oh, here's the takeoff before he becomes a superstar.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just obviously didn't pan out with the drug tests and all that. So
I actually watched an interview with him and Brett Okamoto today. He said he's almost glad that he got this time off because now he's ready. Like, he said he's so much more ready than the person he was, not only in fighting style but in, like, just mental preparations. Yeah. But he also said he's not anticipating a fight. He's anticipating a phone call saying you're not fighting because this fight was originally supposed to happen in Texas a few weeks ago. And the UFC called and said, hey, listen, Texas is really weird about their athletic commission. Let's go ahead and move this to Vegas.
Yeah.
So
where they're cool with whatever. we can get that whatever.
Actually, that's California.
Yeah.
But still.
All right, let's get into the fight. Looking at the tail of the tape, Sugar Sean O'Malley, as Slim mentioned, only 25 years old. Jose Quinones, 29. Sean O'Malley, tall for the division. He will have a 3-inch height advantage and a 3-inch reach advantage. Looking at how they get it done, Sean O'Malley, unbeaten at 10-0, 2-0 in the UFC. Quinones, he's a beast in his own right. He's been fighting really good competition ever since he was down in Mexico fighting Alejandro Perez and them. Like, he's been through it, through the ringer, fighting people. So, two knockouts, one submission, five decisions. He does have a knockout, submission, and decision loss. So, looking at how they get it done, Sean O'Malley, beautiful on the feet, man. Just something to behold on the feet.
Yeah.
6.7 landed per minute. Only absorbs 4 strikes per minute. That's good for a plus 2.6 strike differential. Quinones, not bad himself with a +1 strike differential. And he also averages 2.6 takedowns per 15 minutes. So that's really, really good. But he is not as accurate and doesn't have as good takedown defense as Sean O'Malley. And Sean's also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu purple belt. So he's got that to fall back on if he needs to, if they end up going to the ground, if Quinones decides he wants to make this a dirty fight, where is he going to wrestle? I got to go with O'Malley, bro. Come on now.
It's O'Malley. Come on.
All right, Slim. So, A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Sean O'Malley. So, who are you more confident to get a win? O'Madsen or O'Malley?
Probably Madsen, just because he's more active.
Facts. My bitch love Coco.
What?
We're back, baby.
Okay. All right, going on to the main card, we have Alex Oliveira, the other cowboy, going up against Max Payne Griffin. This one should be a banger.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really, really exciting, very evenly matched bout. Looking at the tail of the tape, Alex Cowboy Oliveira is 32 years old. Max Payne Griffin, 2 years older at 34. Oliveira is going to have a half-inch reach advantage, and both of these guys are 5'11". looking at how they get it done, Alex Cowboy Oliveira... Well, I'm sorry, looking at their records and then how they get it done. Alex Cowboy Oliveira, 19 8-1 overall. Two no contests in there as well. He has a 9-6 UFC record. And what's his form lately, Slim?
His form?
Yeah, like hasn't he lost like 3 in a row or something like that? Like, that's a great UFC record to also have be on a 3-fight losing streak.
Right.
Max Griffin, he lost his last time out. He's 15-7 overall, 3-5 in the UFC. Not as good of a UFC record there. Looking at how they get it done, Alex Cowboy Oliveira is a showstopper. He's got really, really good stand-up. He's a Muay Thai dark blue Prajid. 12 knockouts, 4 submissions, 3 decisions. But Max Griffin's got knockout power himself. He's got 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, and 6 decisions for his 15 wins. He's only been knocked out once, and he's lost 6 by decision. So he doesn't get stopped very often.
Right.
This is going to be a long fight, I feel like, for Cowboy. Cowboy also has been submitted 5 times. He's lost 3 by decision and been knocked out once. Looking at on the feet, I think... So Max Griffin's a little bit more active on the feet, but I'd say like the technical fighting aspect of it, I'd give the advantage to Alex Cowboy Oliveira. And then grappling, Max Payne Griffin.
I'd give it to Cowboy.
His ground game's all right, but Cowboy is definitely... He gets more takedowns. He averages more submissions per 15 minutes. So, and I believe he's also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. Okay. Oh, don't sleep on Max Payne Griffin, though. He's a second-degree kickboxing black belt.
Wow.
A Bok Fu black belt. And he has a black belt in Mara Noble's fighting system. I wonder what that is.
You made those last two up.
No, I swear to that. Bok Fu and Mara Noble's fighting system black belts. Nonetheless, though, let me look at the odds. But I think I know who I want. Ding-da-ding-ding. Where are they? Yeah, Alex Cowboy Oliveira, currently sitting as a minus 150 favorite over the plus 120 Max Griffin. I know he's on a 3-fight losing streak, but I think he pulls this one off. Give me Alex Cowboy Oliveira.
Taking Payne.
Ooh, Slim mixing it up, going with the underdog. I like it, baby. What's that, our third disagreement?
Second.
Second disagreement? All right, yeah. Slim fucking pulling crazy moves right now. Look at this man. He's a fucking... He's like the Ion Kutalaba of podcasting.
Get up and get in your face. Push you off the chair.
A&A MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Max Payne Griffin. I'm going with Alex Cowboy Oliveira. We're staying in the welterweight division for this next one.
Yeah, we got...
An A&A MMA favorite.
Yes, we got Neil Magny going against the Leech. Li Jinglang. This one's interesting and also kind of scary. Because Neil Magny has beaten literally every big name in the UFC, just about.
Yeah.
Carlos Condit, Johnny Hendricks, Hector Lombard, Kelvin Gastelum, Eric Silva, Alex Garcia, like Tim Means. Dude, he just beats everyone.
Yeah.
And he's been in the UFC since 2013.
Yeah, and he's an active fighter. Going up against Li Jinglang, who I believe, can you look this up, Slim? He's 7-1 in his last 8 fights.
Something
like that?
Sure. Ooh, is.
Off the top of my head, too. Look at me. So, looking at the tail of the tape here, Neil Magny, 1 year older at 32. He's going to have a 3-inch height advantage and a 8.5-inch reach advantage.
Wow.
Yikes. Looking at... Oh, and Li is... ranked number 15. Neil's ranked number 14. So Neil Magny lost his last time out. Who was that to again?
Ponce Nibio.
And then 3-fight win streak for Li the Leech Jinglang. He was on a tear before he lost to, I believe it was Jake Matthews, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, he's just been in awesome form lately. Looking at their records and how they get it done, Li the Leech, 17-5 overall. Great UFC record at 9-3. On the other side, Neil Magny, 21-7 overall, 14-6 UFC record.
Wow.
Great for him, too. Looking at how they get their wins, Neil Magny, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, 11 decisions. So he is not afraid to take this into deep waters if he needs to. Lee the Leech is a stopper. He has 7 knockouts, 5 submissions, 5 decisions. He's aggressive. He likes getting it done, making it nasty. Neil Magny has been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times, and lost 1 by decision. Lee the Leech has been submitted once, and he's lost 4 by decision. So I think that's interesting that Lee has 4 of his 5 losses by decision, and Neil has 11 of his 21 wins by decision. Looking at the stats, Lee the Leech puts out more strikes per minute, but it's going to be Neil Magny who has a better strike differential. And then Neil Magny is dangerous on the ground, man. I know actually, that's crazy. It says here that Lee the Leech is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and Neil Magny is only a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt.
Wow.
So we'll see how that holds up when they actually go to the ground, because I think at some point it is going to happen. Oh, this is a hard one to pick. What are the odds on this one? You know, I like how Lee has just been in form lately. Neil hasn't been in the cage since that loss to Ponzinibbio, which has been, a year and 3 months. I got to go with the active fighter and the guy who's just been doing better as of late. Give me Lee the Leech Zheng Long.
I can't pick against the Leech.
ANA MMA going to agree with one of our faves. We're going with Lee the Leech Zheng Long. He is currently sitting as the minus 180 favorite over the plus 150 underdog Neil Magny, which takes us to the lightweight division and a favorite ANA MMA nickname.
Yeah, Daniil Baryush is coming to fight Drekar Klose. Holy cow.
This is going
to
be a banger.
Has been on a tear, just running through people. He's beat Lana Banana, Bobby Green, and Christos Giagos.
Yeah.
Daniil Baryush has been... He's on a 3-5 win streak, too.
Yeah.
He's kind of under the radar, too.
Like, right. And his last one was pretty good, too. Who was that against again?
Frank the Crank.
Yeah. That was vicious.
Macho.
So, looking at the tail of the tape, Daniil Baryush is actually the younger fighter. He's 30 years old. Drekar Klose is 31. Baryush will also have a 1-inch height advantage and a 2-inch reach advantage. Looking at their records, 17-4-1 for Daniil Baryush, and his UFC records, 11-4-1. Drekar Klose, 11-1-1 overall, 5-1 in the UFC. Great UFC record. So Drekar Klose loves standing up. He's mostly a wrestler, but he loves just using his power. He has 4 knockouts and then 7 decision victories. So he'll just wear on you, use his wrestling and his striking to just kind of poke at you, hurt you a little bit, and then he'll just wrestle you to death pretty much. On the other hand, Baryush, 3 knockouts, which is so surprising because I feel like he's just known for his power, like only 3 knockouts in his career. 8 submissions, though, and then 6 decision victories. He has been knocked out 3 times of his 4 out of his 4 losses and submitted 1 time. Klose only lost that 1 time by decision. Looking at on the feet, they only have a 0.03 differential when it comes to striking strikes landed per minute. They're really close in accuracy. Klose does absorb more per minute, though, so plus 1.2 strike differential for Baryush. Only a plus 0.02 for Klose. That's something to look at. And then all grappling stats in favor of Daniil Baryush. He's also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and a Muay Thai black belt, while Klose is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. I don't know. This one's harder to call the more I look at it. Daniil Baryush currently sitting as the minus 170 favorite over the plus 140 Drekar Klose. That black belt versus the blue belt scares me. Because Baryush might be able to get this one on the ground.
True. What's his takedown defense? Klose?
Drekar Klose is in his 6 UFC fights. He has a 68% takedown defense and only 30% takedown accuracy. Baryush, on the other hand, has 34% takedown accuracy and 80% takedown defense. So he has better accuracy and defense. But that 34% takedown accuracy is not very good. Gosh, I don't know, man. This one's really hard to call. I don't know. You pick first.
I'll take close. Close, eh?
Going with the underdog. Fuck, dude. Give me 1 second. I just want to look at something real quick.
You don't got a second.
Beneil Dariush. Damn, he beat Drew Dober like that, too.
I know.
Fuck, man. Eh, fuck it. Give me Beneil Dariush by submission. ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Drakkar Klose. I'm going with Beneil Dariush.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. On to our first championship fight of the night. We have Weili Zhang going up against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I'm pretty sure Weili got in the U.S. fine.
Yeah.
She's not quarantined or nothing like that.
No. So that's good.
That is good. So you want to get another crack at her former belt. She is 0-3 in title fights in her last three title fights.
Really?
She lost against Rose twice and Valentina once.
Wow.
That's shocking for the former king of the strawweights.
Right.
Yeah, she's 2-3 in her last five. That's also shocking. Weili Zhang, however, lost her first fight. Never lost since.
20 fights since.
20 fight unbeaten streak. Lots and lots of finishes in that.
Yeah.
Only three decisions?
Something like that.
That's insane. Weili Zhang. I don't know what I was going
to say. Looking at the tail of the tape.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Weili's 2 years younger than Joanna. At 30 years old, Joanna will have a 2-inch height advantage and a 2.5-inch reach advantage. Looking at their records, Weili, 21, so she's 20 wins, 1 loss, and then she's 4-0 in the UFC. Joanna, on the other hand, 16-3 overall, 10-3 in the UFC. As Slim mentioned, that 20-fight win streak for Weili Zhang. So she gets the stoppages. 10 knockout of her 20 wins, she has 10 knockouts, 7 submissions, and 3 decisions. Joanna, on the other hand, built to go 5 rounds, 11 decisions out of her 16 wins, 4 knockouts, though, and then 1 submission. Weili only lost her fight, 1 fight by decision, and then Joanna's been knocked out once and lost 2 by decision. That was a weird noise. So looking at the significant striking stats, pretty much everything except defense is in favor of Weili Zhang, and she also has almost all the grappling stat advantages as well, except takedown accuracy. So pretty much everything pointing towards the champ, Weili Zhang. I think her aggression is going to be a little bit too much for Joanna. I think they're going to match each other closely in output, but I think it's going to be Weely's power and like those cutting elbows, just kind of like her high pressure that's going to get to Joanna and give her the nod in a 5-round decision. Give me Weili Zhang.
Same.
ANA MMA going with the champ to retain her belt. And still, we're going with Weili Zhang.
On to the main event of the evening. The last stylebender, Israel Adesanya, called out Yoel Romero. He said, listen, I wanted Paulo. Borginia, he's hurt. I'm not sitting around hanging out. That's not what I signed up for. Give me someone to fight. I'll take Yoel Romero.
The one guy nobody wants to fight.
He said, I'll do it.
Right.
Yoel, pretty on and off lately. He's on a 2-fight losing streak right now.
Yeah.
No one ever has gotten a title fight or a title shot on a 2-fight losing streak. It's only Yoel and now...
Yoel.
No, what's his name? Henry's opponent.
Jose Aldo?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the only two.
Stop smoking my weed, bro.
I'm frazzled today. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Yoel's 42 to Israel's 32. Or 30, I'm sorry. He's only 30. I'm pretty sure
there's... So a 12-year age difference?
Yeah, the reach is 7.5?
6.5.
6.5. Nuts.
And then 4 inches of height for Israel.
Yeah. So Yoel is definitely going to have to get in close.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does. I think he has to wrestle. I think he absolutely has to wrestle. Yoel or Israel, I don't even know the last time he got knocked out.
Who, Israel?
Yeah.
Last time he got knocked out?
In kickboxing.
Yeah, it was by Alex Pereira in like 2011 or something.
Many years ago. So I don't think Yoel's knocking out Israel. I think he's going to evade like he does.
Yeah, Israel's strike defense is stupid.
Yeah, and I think Yoel just needs to get in there and take it down and make it nasty on the ground.
Okay. Looking at their records, Israel's perfect 18-0. 7-0 in the UFC.
Crazy. In a year?
Right. Yoel is 13-4 overall, 9-3 in the UFC. Looking at how they get it done, both of these guys are knockout artists, honestly. Israel, of his 18 wins, he has 14 knockouts. 4 decision victories, no submissions. Yoel, on the other hand, of his 13 victories, 11 of them by knockout, only 2 decision victories. He's lost by decision, though, 3 times, and he's been knocked out once.
Who, so, Yoel?
Yeah.
By who?
I don't remember who knocked out Yoel, but it was in 2011.
Rafael... Cavalcant.
Huh. Okay.
Random. That was in Strikeforce.
Nice. Yeah, so looking at the striking stats, all as you guys can imagine, all striking stats are in favor of Israel, but Israel's got better takedown defense than Yoel. Let's see if that holds up. And Israel does average more submission attempts per 15 minutes. So.
Also, we all know about that third round Yoel.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That cardio is also going to have a lot to do with this. Because we saw how much Israel was still putting out against Gastelum when he was beat the fuck up, gassed in the fifth round. Like, he still made it happen. Since this is your boy, I'll let you go first.
My boy.
Slim's going with Israel Adesanya. So bad I want to just pick Yoel just to spite you and just like be able to cheer against you. But I truly don't think...
What?
But I'm going to go with your boy, Israel Adesanya.
See what you did there. Nice.
And AMA going to agree on the 2 championship fights.
We think the champs are going to keep their belts.
Yep. Rightfully so. I think overall, though, I think it's going to be 2 bangers. I think Israel might possibly knock out Yoel in the 4th, though.
Very possible.
That's where I'm going.
Wow. You're thinking Israel knocks out Yoel?
In the 4th.
Damn.
If not, though, he takes it to decision and wins, you know, 3 or 4 rounds.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so just recapping Slim and I's picks. We're both going with Dana Batgirl to defeat Guido Canetti. We're both going with Jamal Emmers to defeat Giga Chikadze. I'm going with Poliana Viana. And what, do we agree on that one?
Yeah.
We're both going with Poliana Viana. Our first disagreement of the night. Slim took Darren Wynn. I went with Gerald Meerschaert. We're both going with Rodolfo Vieira to defeat Saperbeg Safarov. We're both going with Mark O. And don't you fucking forget the O, motherfucker. Don't
fucking forget it.
Madsen to defeat Austin Hubbard. We're both going with Sean O. Don't forget the fucking O, motherfucker. We'll fucking kill you. Mally to defeat Jose Alberto Quinones. We're disagreeing on this one. Slim's going with Max Payne Griffin. I'm going with Alex Cowboy Oliveira. We're taking our show favorite, Li Jinglong, to defeat Neil Magny. Slim's going with Drakkar Klose. I'm going with Benil Dariush. and we're both going with Weili Zhang to defeat Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And we're both going with Israel Adesanya to defeat Yoel Romero.
Wow.
And that is UFC 248's official preview by ANA MMA. Good luck, you guys.
Bro, have you looked into next week's card?
No.
Some fucking bangers. Johnny Walker's fighting next week. What? I didn't even know that. He's fighting Nikita Krylov.
What?
He's going to rip his head off.
The fuck?
Renato Moicano versus Demir Hadzevic? Banger.
Ooh, and I'll give you guys a little quick preview here on DraftKings, who I'm fucking with. Because the prices are out. So I got to say, at 7,000 as the second cheapest fighter, Yoel Romero wouldn't be bad to buy.
Wow.
But the one I really like, because I do think this fight is going to go five rounds, I'd go with Joanna, who is the fifth cheapest fighter at 73.
Wow.
Wait,
what are the odds on that fight?
The odds, Weili Zhang's the minus 180 favorite over the plus 150 underdog, Joanna. Okay. Israel's the minus 285 favorite over the plus 225, Yoel.
Okay.
Let's see here. So Safarov is 6,900. Nice. Romero, 7,000. Quiñones is 7,100. Hubbard's 7,200. Close, 7,500. Neil Magny, 7,600. Giga Chikadze, 77. Max Griffin, 78. Gerald Meerschaert, 79, huh? I like that.
Huh?
I would take that one. I like Gerald Meerschaert possibly getting a stoppage at 79. Got to go with, like, Mark O. Madsen's only 9,000. I like that one a lot. That's the fourth highest, but...
What's the highest?
Rodolfo Vieira at 93.
Oh.
Israel's 92. O'Malley's 91.
Wow.
I do like Weili at 89 because, like I said, I think that fight's going to go five rounds. Any five-round fight is good to take if you think it's going to go the distance. Whereas, you know, like Israel and Yoel, that one might possibly end in a knockout. So I'm going to shy away from that one possibly. Poliana Viana possibly getting a stoppage at 81. It's a roll of a dice, but that's one I'd be willing to take there. Li Jinglong at 86, not a bad price. But I do think Benil Dariush is going to get a stoppage. He's at 87. So just look for those possible stoppages. I'd have to go with Poliana Viana at her price. And then probably, like, yeah, Benil Dariush. Or you know what? Give me Li Jinglong over Benil Dariush.
DraftKings with... Monty.
That's your preview on DraftKings. Good pickings, everybody. Hope you win some money. I'm three out of five on getting some money this year on DraftKings, so not too bad.
Yeah. Better than me.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the plus this year with that.
I'm like one. 1 in 5. And I only doubled my money from $4.
Yeah, I'm close on all the money tonight too on DraftKings. So.
Hey, good for you.
Let's do it.
All right, well yeah, we'll be back next week. To talk about the UFC fight card in Brazil, Lee versus Oliveira.
Ooh-wee. Good luck on your picks, everybody. See you.
Adios.